It's only Dipple. And you know what time it is. Sit back and let's chat. So corny.
Yes. It's been a long minute. Thank you for tuning in to Hanging with Allie Dipple. It's your host, your girl, Earl Renee. It's been some months. Kind of crazy. Not really with me because I've been inconsistent with this thing. Anyway, it's always a struggle. I hope everyone is doing great and summer has been kind to you so far. Lord knows I love Texas, especially Houston, and it's hot as hell, but I'm not going to complain. I'm just going to leave it at that. I'm just going to minimize my outdoor interaction when possible, increase my reckless nature. I just want to say, since it's the last day of the month, it's July 31st, since I'm recording this, like this month marked 2 years being post-op. So I just want to take a moment and I just want to say to see the thickness and the fact that I am practically back where I was when I first big-topped. I just remember crying for the first couple of months, calling myself bald-headed because I was in shock with the shortness. I was extremely insecure for the first few months, especially ordering the come-through hair for Sister Quick Fix wigs on Amazon, being creative with my slap beanie, which I still have to this day. I love that thing. It's satin light. I really need to get one. Again, it's a slap beanie. I mean, I could go on and on and on. Maybe I will. Let me see how I can see this podcast. Probably not. But anyway, I hope everyone has been doing great, living great, getting a lot of tan, a lot of vitamin D, literally from the sun that is, and just being in a positive and a happy place, because I know that is a hard thing to get to once you lose it, trying to get back to that point. But anyway, on the last podcast, I talked about how I made my DIY henna oil and also my henna deep conditioner, the oils and powders that I use. I hope if you have listened to it and felt it was helpful, you know, or maybe it could have piqued some interest just for a natural way of like doing hair treatments, you know, and just giving your hair a little more love naturally. I just hope that maybe you'll look into it. If you have questions, because I'm pretty sure I didn't answer certain things, which I never do, I always leave something out. Just please feel free to email me, drop a comment or DM, and I'll be sure to answer to the best of my knowledge based on my personal experience. Again, Google is the key to life. It is the secret for greatness. So before I get further into the show, let me drop my contact. If you're looking for where to find me, you can email me directly at hangingwithhalliedipple@gmail.com. That's hangingwithhalliedipple@gmail.com. You can also catch me at Twitter and Instagram. My Twitter is hwhalliedipple and my Instagram is hangingwithhalliedipple. You can also catch me at WordPress at halliedipple.wordpress.com, SoundCloud, Podomatic, and iTunes. Again, that's Hanging with Hallie Dipple. Thanks so much for tuning in. Okay, now that we got that out of the way, I want to get on a topic I haven't really talked yet while on this podcast tonight, which is about travel and traveling solo. It's my first thought process when I do think of getting away, honestly. I think it's just because I just like to be by myself. I don't know. But first, I am going to get onto something that seems a bit down to me, then give y'all the missing pieces to the puzzle and bring it right on back. But I don't want to end this podcast on a sad note. So first, let's talk about one of my first loves. It's like first, second, third loves. One of the top three in my life is hair. I said I wanted to talk about hair, right? So I'm going to talk about some hair. So I have been trying things lately with the blow dryer. Well, like I've tried some techniques. I chickened out the first attempt when I first had the blow dryer. Like I looked at it and I was just like, yeah, no, girl, go sit down. Go watch some TV. Do something else. Don't touch that blow dryer. But within the past 3 months, I've attempted and I've blow dried my hair on low heat twice. I just felt like the first time it was like PTSD, like the hair edition. No, I'm not making fun to those who have those symptoms. Just saying, that's how I can compare it. But yeah, like since the first time I've big chopped my hair 2 years ago. So it was a big deal for me to try to do this. So I mixed a natural heat protecting concoction, which consisted of grapeseed oil, avocado oil, almond oil, and coconut oil. I made sure to get the detachable cones. I got my Denman brush. And by the way, I did add that into my hair detangle regimen because it's life. And I, as you know, as I've said before, I detangle in the shower. And then I feel okay sometimes with the spray bottle and the dimming brush if I don't make it to the shower just yet. Like, that comes through for me like life. And I even took time and I went and watched a couple of, you know, tutorials from like my favorite bloggers, which is Curly Proverbs and Mary Hampton on YouTube. I just wanted to make sure I was like on the right path onto what I was thinking was a good technique for blow drying my hair. Now, I just want y'all to know, back in the day, I was the queen of the blow drying game. Of course, that was followed with flat ironing, but like hair had body, was feeling silky, blowing with the wind, Texas humidity approved, could not hold me down. I felt conceited. I felt on top of the world. I felt like bae. Okay, not like Beyonce, but I felt up there. But it was feel stalling. So when I did my sew-ins, yes, I was DIY in that area too. And did my friend's hair as well from time to time. I was the ultimate deceiver in the game when it came to that. But now I have to figure it out without using extensions or a flat iron or damaging my hair. So that's been the biggest thing I've been working on. And I'm just going to chill and take a break because I always revert back in 2 or 3 days to just go and co wash my hair and just run it free. So that was my brief topic on hair. Now I want to get into a bigger topic, you know, more of like a health topic, and this is also a mental health topic. So when I talked about travel, one thing that sparked me to travel solo was that it reminded me of the fact that my father did not care to be a part of his son's life, which was my little brother. And I'm gonna get into a little bit, but one of the reasons is that he's an alcoholic and a functional one at that. Like, this could be a very hard thing for a family to go through, even for children to go through. Like, my parents are divorced. And if I ever say father, I mean biological. Dad is my stepdad because he took care of me and my middle sister, and he raised us if we were his kids, like from the ages of like 4 and 5. So he truly is a great man in that aspect. Now, living with someone who is an alcoholic was one of the most stressful times of my life. And it was only 9 months when I moved in to help, when I moved in with him for 9 months after he got laid off. I never really noticed that he was one at first. Like, when I lived with him when I was younger in middle school, I didn't know that he was one either. I just thought you fought with your dad. Like, I thought it was normal. But as I got older, it didn't really hit until that time frame. Again, in those 9 months, it redefined my life for a second time as a person. And it had to be one of the most stressful things ever. It took the cake on top of my past engagement. Yeah. So first, like I said, it was a really bad engagement. And like, I never really saw my dad sober. He would seem normal, or at least I thought. And then it was like, you could see the demons, aka the spirits, he drank out of the bottle on him. Now, I'm not being super religious, but my family background is Creole and all this other stuff. And I really do believe in things like that. That's just how I was raised. Now, I remember him just doing things where I'd be afraid to spray my holy water in the house because I thought something was going to attack me. And I'm like, I'm not even joking with y'all. Like, my mama's Catholic. So yes, we have the holy water. I was raised Baptist from living with him, but there's still things I practice in the Catholic faith because of my mother and grandmother, you know, the family upbringing. And I do keep some at work. But it was just that bad. I would be in my room with the door closed with my dogs, and he'd be having entire conversations by himself, playing loud music, playing his instruments. I heard one day he told me he didn't trust me because I reminded him of that beat, and I had to remind him that I am half of him in that beat. And this was after I clarified who exactly was he calling a beat. And that if he knew it was best for him, he would leave me alone since I knew how to get to him from being half of him and half of that beat. Like, it was bad. And if he didn't want any further problems, to respect my mother by not calling her out of her name. The alcoholism even stems, from my understanding, from his parents who died, which happened when I was extremely young. I don't really know too much about that, but that was just a brief background I was given as all this stuff was unfolding. And it just got to the point where I even suggested we go to a therapist to help him. And it ended with him trying to put his hands on me and my bedroom door broken. Like, I had to call his best friend to help me because he wanted to get in my room. And I wasn't even trying to give those demons what they want. I wasn't even trying to find out, you know, why he wanted to even come into my room. And you know what was so crazy? It had me moving out the next week. He didn't even remember anything the next day. He couldn't understand why I didn't want to talk to him. Even asked me if he had done something to upset me. I was too through. Like, there weren't any more justifications for me thinking it was okay to have that in my life. That situation was one of the most abusive things I've ever lived. And I went through some really hard things, y'all. Which I probably won't ever talk about, but whatever. But this one took the cake. And he burned me on the cell phone line I had for him. He gave me excuses on why he justified and not wanted to take care of my brother. And none of them weren't even any good excuses. Okay, so let me get off this. I came a long way from this situation. And I don't need to say me back with the current issues I have in my life right now. So I had a solo trip in May, and at that point it was much needed in Belize. So I was at the Jaguar Creek, also called the Good Living Camp Resort in Belmopan, and I got to meet a scorpion in my bathroom one night, got to do some cave tubing. I almost got slapped by a bat while cave tubing. I heard some howler monkeys. Like, that was around 4:30 the first morning I got there. There wasn't any AC. They had ceiling fans. There were no windows. It was all netted. Now, mind you, they were not closed, but they were so much louder in person. And then they let me know they weren't closed, but I wasn't scared. You know, I had all the lights off and I stayed still. I did sweat a little bit because I was terrified at the fact, like, I was, like, by myself in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the rainforest. But yeah, I wouldn't trade it for the world. Like, I want to go back. And that's coming from somebody who doesn't camp. I've never camped before. So that was like my first to close camping experience. And most of the stay, I think the last 5 days, I was the only guest there for the whole week. I actually caught them on a slow week, thank God, because I'm not that social. But anyway, what I wanted to get into is the stigma affiliated with traveling solo. I did notice that in recent years it's become much more popular, but I remember I got flack on my very first solo trip. Like, I know it's safer to travel in numbers, but maybe you just want to get away and you don't feel like threatened with figuring out other people's schedule. Or maybe you just like being a recluse. Who knows the reason? I mean, there's a reason for everything. And it's not even like a selfish one. It's just something you want to do. So my first, I guess I should call it a solo trip, but it was a partial solo trip. I went to visit my little brother for the very first time in Tartu, Estonia. I first learned of him when he was about 9 or 10. Excuse me if I sound a little emotional while I tell this story a little bit, because I love my little brother, y'all. Y'all just understand. I knew all my life, well, most of my life, I had one and I had a feeling. And then when I found out that I really had one, it was just like I was on cloud nine. Like, nobody could tell me anything. Okay, everybody basic. Okay, like I was in heaven. So it was a while back. Like my brother was 9 or 10 then, and my dad came to me one evening before Thanksgiving. So I think it's like maybe 5 or 6 years ago now, and he told me I had a little brother, and of course I was like, ha ha ha, yeah, real funny, what you been drinking? Then he pulled out these photos of this little boy, and he really did look like me. Like, it was a full grown child, like not 2 or 3, like 9 or 10. And my father knew of his existence the whole time, like before he was even born, like when his mom was first pregnant with him. So I asked a bunch of questions and he wouldn't give me anything. Like, he wouldn't tell me his mother's name, not even the last name, email, or social media, nothing. Like, no. He told me that he only spoke Russian. Even was harsh as to say, like, his mother said she wouldn't let my father talk to him because he, you know, she needed him to marry her. And then, like, y'all, it was all lies. It was all BS. It was just crazy. Now, what was true is that there was this little boy. Well, now he's like 6'3" or 6'4", whatever. He'll be down here next summer. I'll fly him down here. But still, he was younger than me. But out there, I couldn't find him. I didn't know his name. Like, no, take that back. I knew his name was Georg, but I didn't know nothing else. That was it in this picture I saw. And, like, I wanted to steal the pictures, but I mean, my dad had them. So this would continue for about 4 or 5 more years. Our relationship became strained because of it. And in addition to his excessive drinking, and his justification with that was that that was his issue, not mine, but that blood in that child's veins, part of that blood is the same blood that flows through me. That was like an extension of my life, you know. So then one day in January 2015, I got a message on Facebook from this young man, and the first thing the message said was "sister" with a question mark. And I was at work, and as soon as I saw it, I immediately like typed and I was like, "York?" And I became so overwhelmed. I was like boohoo crying at work like a big baby. And that's a big statement, because unless if I'm crying, it's just because I want to hit someone. But that's not a good thing to do. No one should, you know, condone violence. But no, but I was literally running around the office in tears and crying to say my little brother found me over and over again. And he was 14 at the time when he found me. So just think, from 9 to 10 years old to 14, him finding me. I like, I missed every baby moment. I missed his first steps, the big sister bullying, the teaching him words, the giving him big sister advice. Like, I missed all. And like, guess what? He was never in Russia the whole time. He was in Tartu, Estonia. His English was amazing to say he'd never been to America. And that was from him doing like Xbox Live. I can't remember who his favorite American basketball player is. I think he said Paul George or something. I can't remember. I have to go look it up again. But I changed that. Like, because when he said he'd never been to America, I flew him out and his mother out last summer. But still, anyway, let me get back to the story. So when I told my mother, she would say I had always talked about, you know, having a little brother. Like, I was like, "Mama, I just feel like I got a little brother. Like, I don't know why, but I just do. That felt like I should have had one." And that day, my father dropped that bomb. It was my instincts the entire time. And then me and my brother, we got on Skype, and I was so emotional, and so is he. And I see this little bitty, well, not little bitty, but this little big hair boy, and he looks just like me. I was just like, okay. Okay, let me pause and let me get back to the solo child park. I'm going down memory lane. Anyway, another podcast maybe. I don't know. So now I'm all excited. I had never heard of Tartu, Estonia. I hopped on Expedia looking at flights. I got on tripmasters.com. They only had Tallinn's. And I was just like, no, I'm going to book my own trip. Look, I'm gonna figure this out. You know, then I tell my family, my friends, hey, I'm going. If y'all want to come, here are the dates. You know, let me know if you can make it. Great. If not, this is when I'm going. I'll let y'all know I'm alive. So I went in June as my birthday gift to myself, and I got to hug my little brother for the first time. It was like priceless. Now, I was going to try to go that winter 2015, but the way the cold and me are set up and there's snow, and I've never been to this place before, I had to wait a little longer. That's why I waited until June of 2016. Now, as I got closer to booking, no one was able to go. So I got a little nervous because besides like flying to New York to meet up like with some homeboys and some, you know, some friends, it was like, I had never traveled by myself before, let alone internationally. So the flight had me taking 2 overnight stops there and back. First, there was London, England, and Helsinki, Finland. Like London, I spent like 23 hours when they're going, and I spent about 16, 17 hours in Helsinki, Finland, and going back. So I was going to be there for 5 days when I finally got to Tartu. But in the meantime, I had to schedule these flights. Plus, I also had to schedule my lodging, which was a combination of hotels and Airbnbs. So I just said, book that flight, girl. I got the flights booked and I gave it to Jesus. Now, my family was really nervous at first, telling me not to go. A single black female in another country that doesn't really have blacks. And there weren't really any there, y'all. Like, they weren't racist or anything, but we literally made a game of it. I was like, nah, I'm not going to miss out on meeting my little brother for the first time. I already missed so many years of his life, and I wasn't missing any more. So I booked a room on Airbnb for London. Hotel to and from Helsinki, you know, like I said, 16 to 18 hour layover. Walked the whole city of London, y'all. It was just amazing. Like Big Ben, it was just awesome. Anyway, so it came out to be in like a 10-day trip, including the layovers and me wanting to stay 5 days. And I got that for about $1,700, which I thought was a really good deal. And like, I had so much fun. I looked at things about each city. And like, when I got to London, the Airbnb host, he was so freaking nice. And he was cute. I could tell he was younger than me, but he was mad cute. And he was mad nice. And I was in the Soho area. Like I said, I walked the entire city to the main attractions, got to see the castle. And not once did I think I'm alone on this trip. Like, honestly, I was kind of surprised at how much I was having by myself. And I don't think, like, I've had fun on trips, like, with homegirls and stuff. Because, you know, we've gone to different trips, like, in the Caribbean and stuff, and we've had fun. But I was really having a lot of fun. Like, I was on my own schedule. It's something, like, I encourage anyone to try at least once in their life. And I did it again. This time I was in Belize and there was no one to meet when I got there but the prearranged transportation on a 90-minute drive in the middle of the rainforest. Now, some tips I will offer is that you take the time to research the places you're interested in. Like, I live on TripAdvisor looking for reviews. Also, make sure that you register on like the .gov site in advance, just to let them know where you're traveling, you know, things like that. Make sure you give your close friends and family, you know, your itinerary info. And most importantly, just relax. You can have just as much fun alone as you can with certain people. And although I didn't really drink through Europe, that is, but because it was like, ugh, especially when I got to Helsinki. Helsinki was a little bit meh. And like, I had read, and like when I looked at, they used to be that they're known for their nightlife, but like, yeah, it was kind of bland. I just felt like maybe I just need to go back and give it a second chance. I don't know, but and then just make sure you pack in a manner to where things you need are accessible. Like, I had to pack for 2 days going and coming in my, going and coming for Europe. 2 days worth of clothes. which worked out pretty good. Although I did get stopped by the security for them to check my bags. I was a random check, but like, I already knew I had a lot of stuff packed in that bag, so I was ready for it. Even when I went to Belize. By the way, if you put batteries in your backpack, because I had the little portable little light bulbs and the ones for my flashlight, yeah, I was ready because I knew it was like pitch black in Belize. Like, huh. Dinner was done by like 6, and I swear to you, it was looking like 9 o'clock at night. In the morning, when I'd wake up, I was thinking it was like 9 o'clock. You know, 10 o'clock. No, it was just like 5:45 going on 6 a.m. So same with Helsinki. Courtesy of the Airbnb host also in Tartu, they were so nice to give me blackout curtains. Like, I couldn't sleep, so I remember binge watching that season of Orange is the New Black because of the time difference. And when I thought like it should get darker, it was just 11:30 at night. Like, I was 10 minutes walking distance from, I think it was some kind of male police academy or military academy for in Tartu, but I was walking distance from my brother and I felt safe. I literally felt safe. I got to go to the museums, like the museums there versus the museums we have here were so much more interactive, and it was so, I'm like, it made me want to go back. Like, I've been to the museums here and such, like the Science Museum, was it Science Museum, Moody Gardens, all of those. But it was just like, it was so much better, you guys. I just loved it. I don't know. I felt like I was meant to live in another country. I don't know. I think things might get sad, but I love Houston. I don't know. It's like a double-edged sword or something. I don't know. But anyway, one thing I really, really do want to stress is, with everything that's going on in the world today, I remember when I was going, this was like pre-Trump getting elected. I'll never forget, people were like, oh, so are you gonna vote for Trump? Like, what do you think for Trump? And I was a little bit nervous because I honestly, like, I knew I was gonna vote for them, but it's just like, I'm an American. At the end of the day, some people aren't gonna care. They're just gonna see like Trump. Like, you're an American and Trump is your president. And even when I went to Belize, the trick I've learned about Belize. So there were a lot of things I read about, like people getting kidnapped, getting raped, all this other stuff. And I think that's just like in the initial part when you get into Belize, like from the airport, was at Belize City or something. I didn't have any of those issues. Like, Ronaldo was my host, and I'm like, I tell you, it was just me from that Monday until that Friday. That was it. I got there on a Saturday. It was like a group, because this is like a nonprofit, so all the proceeds from what I paid for there, it goes towards putting towards kids' education, whatever, paying for their school, because their education isn't exactly as free as it is for us here in the States. So everything that I put towards that is going to help a few kids, you know, with their education, which I thought was awesome, but like for the year. And I think they said it averages to about maybe a little bit about $1,000 a year. So, but it was just so nice to see such nice, genuine people. And then remind me that some of the things that are second nature, I just, you know, we tend to take for granted. And I like, it humbled me down on so many levels. Every day I hung out at the creek, I got to listen to some audibles, I read some books, I downloaded some Bollywood films. Yes, I love Bollywood films. I mean, it was really, it was what I needed, especially coming back to work with the nonsense that I had to deal with at work, but whatever, that I don't know about that. But it was just, it was a great experience. If I had to put it on, like, I've been to Dominican twice, been to Jamaica, been on 3 cruises, what else, Europe, I would say it would have to rank in the top 3. Number 1 is Dominican. I will always love the Dominican. I see myself going there every couple of years, every other year. I just love the people there. Love it there. Number two would be Europe, and then the third would be Belize. Yeah, and I do want to go back, and I want to go back specifically to that lodge or hotel resort, whatever they call themselves. But anyway, I think I've been on here long enough. I hope that you guys found this entertaining. I know I babbled a bit. I never can put my thoughts in the same place. So, and right now my headspace is not in a great place, but I'm still alive. So I just got to remind myself that's a blessing in itself to be alive. Not many people are fortunate. So I'm just going to say amen. God bless. And I just want to thank you guys again so much. And I hope maybe to try to get a little bit more consistent, maybe once a month, not once every 3 months. We'll see, but I don't want to make any promises. And again, if you have any family members or loved ones who are struggling with alcoholism, know that you are not alone and that it is not an easy battle to struggle. And you just have to give them to Jesus if you've tried everything you can. And I can go to sleep at night knowing that I did everything I could with my father. I haven't spoken to him in years since then, but I do pray for him every day, and I pray for his wellness, and I pray that he finds the peace he needs in his life and one day realizes that, you know, it is not every day that people are blessed with children, but your family and the extensions of you are very important in life. So with that, I'm going to talk to you guys later. Thank you so much for listening, and have a good night.